A lot has happened. The minister inherited some of the baggage and the garbage that was there. And it has not gotten better. Instead, things went worse. So you are here today because you are accountable to the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. I know the minister brought to my attention that there's about 5 board members that will not be able to attend this particular meeting, which was so unfortunate because this is the first meeting where we needed to attach a face to a name so that we know who are these persons that we'll be working with for the remainder of the term. It might look nearer to the end, but I can tell you it's going to be a very long 1 month. With all the challenges that we have in South African tourism, emanating from governance, the purging of black excellence there, which we've seen unfolding, bringing back people that have resigned because of whatever clout on their heads, and then the unity and cohesion that is not there amongst the workers in that particular entity. We're sitting with emails, a pile of emails, where the staff generally there in South African tourism is unhappy with the executive and how they conduct the business of this particular entity. Now, if you work in an environment where you are not happy, you are bound to be depressed. And for us as a portfolio committee, the welfare of employees takes priority. Because if you have employees that work under such circumstances, they are bound not to be productive. So all these things we're hoping that when the minister said she appointed people with particular expertise, it meant that we will see change in that entity. Applying all the expertise that is there, we need to see improvement, because I want to believe that people were appointed based on merit, not because they knew so and so and so and so. Not friends of the DG, because it's the department that presided over that process. Fortunately, it's not the minister. So everyone that is appointed to South African tourism is accountable to Parliament, to the executive, and to the department. The Department of Tourism has an oversight committee there, hoping that it will be interacting with this new board, ensuring that there is improvement, because the board has a responsibility to take oversight over the entities of government, over and above the powers that are vested on us as Parliament by the Constitution of the Republic, in terms of oversight of over the executive and oversight over the SOEs and entities of government. They themselves as a department have the same responsibility. And the minister is here to steer the ship. And all of you are accountable to Parliament. Things that we don't do in Parliament for the benefit of those that might want to understand, we don't lie to Parliament, because lying to Parliament constitutes perjury. And that is something that is prosecutable. You can be prosecuted for lying before Parliament. So these are the things that we don't do. And we're confronted by those in the past few months, in such that one member of the board stopped attending this portfolio committee because we did not want to be subjected to lies. Because lies won't enable us to assist the entities and the department to grow better and do better things and improve where they're supposed to improve. Now, the presentations that we need to have here are presentations that will guide the portfolio committee, not only to enforce accountability, but also to allow and assist the entities to improve where they can, because we do get reports from the Auditor General. Before we could meet with the entities, the Auditor General will come before the Portfolio Committee and present on their findings and everything else. And the beauty about that is that before they could even come to the Portfolio Committee, they will have a one-on-one with the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee where they will vent out and say everything. And thereafter, the Portfolio Committee and the findings of the Auditor General for them to be implemented. It is us that must drive that implementation. So I'm raising these things, I'm highlighting them because I thought it's important so that we move in unison as we are starting on a new chapter. Issues of governance at South African Tourism are very much crucial for us as a portfolio committee, because we once raised at some point that, for instance, you can't have a CFO that is acting as a CEO in that entity, because you become a referee and a player, and that defeats the purpose of good governance and also betrays the principles of the King Code, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4, but all those principles, they are betrayed by that. Because you will have a CEO writing, you will have a CFO writing to the CEO to approve a particular financial incurrence. And you are literally writing to yourself, you know, where is good governance there? Now, yeah, I'm the whip of the committee, I'm acting as a chair, so I must write to the chair. You are writing to yourself, and you are going to improve what you have written to yourself. You are a referee and a player. So those things must cease to exist there. And if you are not decisive in approach, you won't turn the tide in this entity that is so rotten. It's an entity that takes half of the budget of the department, this entity. So that money is the money that is appropriated by Parliament. We appropriate those monies. And if we don't want to appropriate the money, we don't appropriate the money. Reasons why we stopped Tottenham Hotspur as this portfolio committee is because Tottenham Hotspur had no value for money. And there was no clear plan and indication on how it is going to impact to the country and the young people of this country. And over and above that, the South African Football Association was not involved, and we had to stop it. Okay? So I'm citing these few examples so that you understand how we operate in this portfolio committee. And members of this portfolio committee, all of them, they are a bunch of educated individuals. So if you're going to come to the portfolio committee with the perception that no parliamentarians are lazy readers, they won't look into these things, we can even spot a cut and paste as this portfolio committee. I won't dwell on what qualifications we have, but we've got enough to represent the parliament, and academically we are empowered to represent Parliament. we are a multi-party system. So you are going to have different members of parliament from different political parties. But that does not make us political opposition parties. It makes us one portfolio committee of parliament, irrespective of the organizations that we represent in this parliament of Nelson Mandela. So you must look at us as such, okay? Because when we are here, we are not opposition, we are one. So if you look at us like that, you are going to be able to work with us seamlessly. So, Minister, without wasting time, I'm going to allow you to present the members of the board to the honorable members of parliament. Perhaps you're going to just present an overview so that people introduce themselves. And in that, I'm also expecting you to introduce the new CEO of the entity, because the last time we did not have a CEO in that entity, and we don't want to assume that we all know one another in this meeting. Because in the letter which you wrote to me and subsequently presented to the Portfolio Committee reporting on the appointment of the board and the new CEO, you mentioned the names of all the new appointees. And I'm hoping that this board sitting here today is not going to be rubber stampers of the appointments that were made by the previous board of two people. You ought to scrutinize everything before you burn your fingers, because your fingers can be burnt just like that, because there's a lot wrong that was highlighted by the portfolio committee members and all the wrongdoings that were happening in this entity, which we want to see improving so that they are able to carry your mandate in ensuring that you contribute as tourism to the GDP of this country. I'm going to allow you, Minister, to present all that which you wrote to that love letter you wrote to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and to the board members that are here this morning. Thank you for joining us. Yes, Chairperson, as you know, the establishment of the new board and appointing a CEO is also instructions from the Auditor General that that had to be done, which we have done. We unfortunately took a bit longer because of the cabinet agenda. We were trying since December to get it onto the agenda. And then finally went to cabinet about a month or so ago. Chairperson, we've made sure, and I can share the cabinet memorandum with you, that we are compliant with the appointment of boards, the handbook, the BBBE Act, the Tourism Act, and employment equity. So the board handbook prescribed that you need to have a board that's broadly representative and balanced with skill. And so that is what we have attempted to do, and cabinet finally approved 9 members plus 1 member from the department. Chairperson, also we did have an engagement with the board yesterday, the DG, myself, and the DM, but we really just, as an introduction, looked at the overview of what they are taking over, the master plan, tourism master plan. We also also look at the use of data and technology, the assessment of the internal operations, and also the engagement with stakeholders, with all stakeholders in the value chain of tourism, including TVCSA, Sasuvito, and all of those organizations. I will be signing a service level agreement with the board and the CEO, starting as from the 1st of April, with clear deliverables and timelines. So that we are busy drafting now. We also briefed them on parliamentary rules and the issue and the timelines with parliamentary issues. I raised the issue of questions, where questions have got a timeline, and then also the issue of submission of reports to the portfolio committee, and the portfolio committee must receive reports 72 hours before the time. I also gave them a timeline to say that the subcommittees of the board must be established before the 1st of April, so that when the new budget come in on the 1st of April, they have set up all the committees. We briefly also discussed and set a process in place, Chairperson, to deal with the issue of the staff morale. And my suggestion to the board, and I said I will avail myself also to engage with the staff so that we give them a hearing. But I think it is necessary also that we engage each of the business units within SHG. And when we engage with the business units, we take out the job description of every person, we take out the contract, we also look at how performance is measured, and there the board has already committed to putting that in place so that we start the engagement to deal with the issue of the morale of the staff. I've also asked Chairperson for a copy of the grievance procedure within SAT, a copy of the disciplinary procedure, and also, you know, workers anywhere in the country, they've got a right to belong to any trade union of their choice. So to familiarize all of ourselves with the basis of employment and the contractual obligation from SAT and also from the staff members. So that's what we discussed yesterday, and we also agreed to meet on a quarterly basis, but on a monthly basis, DG and myself will receive a report from the department representative. So if I can come to the board members, Chairperson, and Cabinet has approved, and we the appointment of Ms. Nkosazana Kanyile. She's 46 years old. I know the committee always look at age. She's got an MBA from the Henley Business School. And the skills that she brings to the SAT board is financial and project management skills, which is a very important skill that needs to run right through the organization. The deputy chair that was approved by cabinet is Advocate Roselle Jordan. She is 41 years old. She's got an LLB, legal expert, and she is an advocate. Then,
are they there?
Oh, yes, okay. The chairperson? Yes, the chairperson.
Okay.
I thought Jeff says that I must just briefly introduce them and they will speak afterwards.
Yeah, because we are giving the chair.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, okay. Yes, yes, our chairperson.
Okay.
Don't mind me giving your age.
Okay.
The advocate has submitted an apology. I've also advised him yesterday, Chairperson, that if any board member can't make to a meeting of the portfolio committee, the chair, the apology must go directly to the chairperson, and that the chairperson of the board can't come and apologize on behalf of all of them. So we've asked them to do that yesterday. So Advocate Jordan, she's made an apology, she's not here today. The third person is Ayanda Masubuko. He's hospitality management and sales and marketing and finance. Is Masubuko here?
Not yet.
Also an apology, okay. Then there is an apology from Dr. Stella Bavuma. She is 47 years old. She's got a PhD in information technology management from the University of Johannesburg, and she's also an IT and business specialist. Apology from her too. Then we've got Dr. Gregory Davis, 63 years old. He's a PhD from the University of the Western Cape, and he brings the skills of governance, leadership, and public management. David here? David, are you there? Can we see you? Okay. Then the next one is Mr. Ikagem Ifran Pelani. Yes, I agree, we can call him Opa. He is 56 years old. He has a degree in Master of Management. Okay. He will explain that. But, you know, his skills that he brings to a person is entrepreneurship, tourism development, and also local government. So is he here? There. Then the next person is Ms. Nkumbonzi. Hi. She's also got an MBA from Henry Business School. And the skills that she brings, commercial stakeholder relations. She can also deal with bids and, you know, how to structure bids and deals. Then we've got Mr. Rajesh Mahabia. I think he's also an apology, yes. He is 63 years old, master's in commerce from UKZN. He's a chartered accountant and he specializes in audit and risk. Then the next person is Ms. Maija de Roig Ace. She is 44 years old. She holds a BCom honors from University of Stellenbosch, also a chartered accountant, a financial and commercial due diligence expert. Also an apology, thank you. And then we've got Dr. Michael Tony, 70 years old. He's got a PhD in social science, and the skills that he brings is governance, and he's also a disability expert, so he's also representing the disabled sector. And then we've got Ms. Yvesne Pillay, 43. She's a departmental representative with some public service experience and also tour guide governance. She's a full-time position in the department. So that is the list, Chairperson. Is there anything else you want me to add? Okay. We can provide copies of the full CVs to the committee also. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the presentation. I think all of us were happy that there's many women in this particular board that you've appointed. I was trying to catch up with that. And we are comfortable with the number of women that are in this particular board. I must also say, DG, that Professor Gregory Davis, because he's no longer a doctor now, he's a professor. he was my supervisor for my master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shocked to see him here. And I'm happy that he will be accounting to me now. You see, life evolves, you know? Just like that. Life is like a soccer ball. It rolls and rolls and enters the net just like that. Yes. So those sleepless nights that subjected me to the payback now. And I haven't seen him in ages, professor. The last time I checked was a doctor, and now I heard he's a professor Gregory Davis. And I know that in this portfolio community, there's few people who are his students there at UWC. Like April here looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I know the whip of the portfolio committee also, Ms. Makubela, was a student of Dr. Gregory Davis at UWC. So he will be accounting to his students. You know, that's very nice. So in terms of the Tourism Act, Minister, it is true that geographically and in terms of representation, you have managed to cover all tracks. And for sure, this is the reason why even the cabinet could approve the appointment of this particular board. So on the issue which you raised, which is crucial, and I wrote to you, the presentations of South African tourism must be received by the committee secretary 72 hours at least before the portfolio committee. Now, it was out of order for us to receive this report at 12 o'clock yesterday. This is a report which we were supposed to be reading, you know, on time so that we are able to engage with the report. But however, we are here now and the minister has addressed it and it will not be acceptable next time. So I thought it's important that we start on the right foot, because once we start on a wrong footing, who are going to have problems. And there will be head-on collisions along the way. So it should not be happening. Whoever that was responsible to submit this report, that person is out of order. Because before these reports come to the portfolio committee, they must go to the minister for approval. You see? So that's 72 hours. It's not a 72 hours that we share with the minister. It is a 72 hours of the portfolio committee. Now, those reports must go to the minister, and when the minister approves the reports must come to the portfolio committee in 72 hours before the meeting of the portfolio committee. We know and understand that people will come up and say no, because there was a reschedule of the portfolio committee. No, the meeting was supposed to be yesterday. Imagine if this report was not ready yesterday. What does that make of you? Because the rescheduling of the portfolio committee itself, it was not by our own design. It's simply because there was a sitting of parliament starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, and also the president was responding to questions. And there is no way that we would have started our meeting even in the afternoon yesterday. So, because these are Kavanish year reports. So, Minister, I don't know who is presenting today.
I should change my sandwich over time. I left out the introduction of the CEO, Jefferson, you asked me to do. I've only done the introduction of the board, yes. Now, Jefferson, there was a whole long process by an outside agency that is being appointed to do the appointments and the selection of the CEO and also the CFO. The new CFO has started, but he's being admitted to hospital today for a long-standing date and appointment that he's got. He was here yesterday, but he had to fly back because of the hospital appointment. And then Ms. Nombolelo Guliwe has gone through with the other three people that were shortlisted, and I can also submit the report to the committee. They've gone through the interviews, they've done the competency test, and then finally she was recommended by the agency that did all of the interviews. I took the results of the interviews, the results of the competency test to cabinet so that they can see the scoring and everything, and then finally Ms. Guliwe was accepted by cabinet to be the CEO of SAT. Thereafter, what happened was that cabinet also approved the salary scale to make sure it's within the National Treasury regulation, and then thereafter a contract was prepared for Ms. Guliwe and it was signed. So she is being appointed for a period of 5 years. For a period of 5 years. Part of the contract also includes, under normal labor relations, at the issue of probation. And we will certainly make sure that we put in a system so that, with the help of the DG, a system in place so that we can do the monitoring on a monthly basis. Because with the probation, it describes how it needs to be done. So that is what we have put in place. And Ms. Guliwe is here. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, thank you.
So Ms. Guliwe is now the CEO of the entity, and you are saying there's a CFO which is newly appointed and is not here. When was the CFO appointed?
I guess I'm in a report. I'm not at the report they gave to the AG. I don't have the exact date. Novelero, when was he appointed?
Good morning, Chair. He started on the 11th of March.
Yeah.
Okay. So the two-member board ensured that they appoint people before they leave, at least at the level of the CFO and the CEO. I'm hoping that the other executives will be appointed by the new board. Otherwise, we are going to be a bunch of rubber stampers of things that occurred when you were not there. And when you are supposed to account, you won't be able to account. There's vacancies there on the executives, there's vacancies there on the hubs, and you know, I'm reminded, Minister, of a call which I received from one legal person when you speak about the DC procedures, where an employee of South African Tourism that is lying in hospital was forced to appear before the DC. An employee lying in hospital forced to appear before the DC, and that this client of these people was made to submit an affidavit that I'm here in a hospital bed lying, dying. And also the doctor was called. Something which is inhumane. Over and above this being unlawful, it is very inhumane. And the unfortunate part, the current CEO was at the center of that. So as per the report which I got from these legal persons, and I called the DG, and the DG advised me to tell those people to write a letter to you. I'm not sure if you received such a letter stating all these facts. So these are things that are happening there in South African tourism. Because people, they want to flex their muscles and replace this person and by the other person, and they are there to settle scores. And settling of scores is not going to assist this entity. It will send the entity down the drain. And we still have an outstanding meeting with the staff of that entity. We'll come. It's a pity that this meeting could not be there, because we wanted this meeting to be there at SAT. But because of the business of Parliament, we couldn't be there, because some of us are required to attend some of the meetings physically here in Cape Town. So I'm raising these things again, Minister, under your DC procedures that are there. But those DC procedures that are there are unlawful. And when I learned to understand who this employee is, I was reminded of the report which was presented to us in a closed session, which exonerates this person. But still, the previous board insisted to a point where they dragged people out of the hospital beds into ADC. This can't be happening in this democratic country that has laws that are so beautiful, such that they are recognized globally. It can't be happening. These are the things that, as this new board, needs to intervene on and prevent them from happening, because it will be bad publicity. And when you are taken to court, to labor court, this entity will spend monies, lots and lots of monies, on these labor litigations that might arise in such occurrences. So can we receive the presentation? I'm hoping that we will receive the summary, because our portfolio committee made it very clear that if you have 100 slides, you need to shrink those slides and be precise to the point in terms of your presentation, so that you are able to have more time to interact with the report itself. So we are hoping that the summary is the one that will be presented, Minister.
Thank you, Jefferson. Just about the last incident that you referred to in the GC, the first time I heard about it, and I also didn't receive anything in writing. DG, can you follow up with who spoke to you to write to me? I'm totally the first time I heard about this. Thank you.
It's me who called the DG after I received the call.
Oh, okay.
And then the DG advised that I should tell the lawyers to write to him.
Oh, okay.
And copy him. So we were checking if
that
was done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, Minister, DG, board members, and honorable members. I will go through the summary presentation as a non-page document of our quarter three organizational performance report too. We also have the finances in the document, so when my colleague from finance, because the CFO is in hospital with our finance manager, she'll take us through the finances and also reference the actual slide that she's going through. So without wasting time, I'll go through the performance information. Chair, I'm on page 3 of the summary document, where we summarize our quarter three performance in terms of program. So in corporate support, where we had 16 KPIs, we met or achieved 53% of our KPIs. The ones that were not achieved here are sitting in the
OPCAP, which is our Operation Clean Audit project. Of course, I'll go through the detail where I give the reasons for non-achievement, but also any mitigations, including whether or not there's been any improvement seen in the current quarter. We also had challenges around the GRC environment, so risk management. Again, when I get to those specific KPIs, I'll give a sense of where we currently are and whether or not there's been movement in the current quarter. And then similar to other quarters, we had human capital as part of the six that is not achieved. We have KPIs that are sitting in that environment. So the 63% not achieved as OPCA is in the area of operating team audit, risk management, as well as human capital. Linked to corporate support, we have areas where we had significant work done. Again, I'll talk to the reasons for that. Chair, our program two, which deals with our investment in insights and analytics, as well as Digitech, or those functions that enable the business of South African tourism. Out of the 11 targets that we had for quarter three, we met 10 of the 11, with 91% not achieved. I have a slide that explains the reason for that. I'll also give a sense of where we are in the current quarter. Our significant budget goes to program three, which is the leisure tourism marketing. That's where we allocate funds for brand and marketing, domestic marketing, as well as international marketing. So out of the 15 targets that colleagues had in program three, all 15 were met during quarter three. We also have program four, where we do the work of MICE, so meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions, including business tourism. So out of the 8 targets that we had in program four, we achieved 100% in quarter three for program four. Chair, we also have program five, where we allocate funding for tourist experience, so the brand experience projects under this program, as well as the work that we do around hosting grading work, also live under tourist experience of the entire quality assurance value chain. So out of the 3 targets that we had for quarter 3 for program 5, we achieved all 3. What's then just key to highlight, I know we say the explanation is on slide 6, is that in quarter 3, we achieved 47 of the 53 total targets that we had for the quarter, resulting in an 89% achievement. And the reason for, so there's an additional one that sits under Program 2, Business Enablement, and the reason we've highlighted it is because that specific KPI was due in, or the specific target was due in quarter 4, but the team was had to ensure that it's achieved in quarter 3. So it was then counted as part of those that are achieved in the specific quarter. So just for summary, so 89% achieved in quarter 3, 4% was significant work done, and 9% not achieved, with the explanations in the next slide. I'm now on page 4 of the summary presentation. I'll start with program 1, where we allocate resources for corporate support. So in program 1, we achieved 53% of the planned targets for quarter 3. This is our lowest score at program level, with some targets being partially achieved. I had referenced in the previous slide that those targets that were partially achieved, one was linked to Operation Clean Audit, where part of the project plan for Operation Clean Audit includes members of the project team being able to meet and discuss the milestones of the plan. So one of the meetings could not take place due to member unavailability and had to be postponed to quarter four. But then because we had a cut off at the end of December, that was then highlighted as as not having happened, which is a true reflection. But in quarter four, we've ensured that everyone is available for meeting. Everyone is available to ensure that we comply and actually track the milestones that are sitting in the corporate compliance campaign operational plan. Chair, we also have as a target, and it's similar to the previous two quarters, where percentage of women in senior and top positions was low. In December, so at the last board cycle at RIMCO, as the executive, we submitted a request to the board to be able to appoint based on a fixed term contract basis so that we can capacitate our structure and be able to meet our targets. So we've received that approval, so we are now able to recruit with targeted recruiting where we focus on achieving a positive outcome on increasing the percentage of women in senior and top management. Chair, I'm now on page 5 of the presentation where I highlight and give reasons for those targets that were not met. The first one, which sits under Program 1, relates to the previous year's risk management maturity assessment report that was not done in quarter 1, quarter 2, as well as quarter 3. Also linked to that, which was a target in quarter 3, was the need to conduct a risk management maturity assessment. So similar to other processes, other quarters, the reason for that was linked to capacity constraints within the risk of GRC, governance, risk and compliance function. But the mitigation of submitting a fixed-term contract submission to the board is that we also then identify those critical positions that are required to assist with doing this work. So part of that is the approval to recruit a risk management officer, and that process is underway with our head of governance, risk, and compliance. And we've been tracking it because we are towards the end of the financial year, so it's important that those things that are outstanding, we are able to demonstrate that we went all out to ensure that we meet those targets. I've received positive feedback, but we'll then report formally when it's done at the end of the financial year. Chair, we also have a target that relates to people with disabilities that are employed at South African Tourism. So one, we have two targeted ways to fix the challenge. Because I do agree that it's unacceptable that we can't meet this important target. So what we did as an organization, because it's been outstanding again for the first quarter of the financial year, is that internally there was a human capital letter drive where internally colleagues are encouraged to disclose through a human capital process. I know that that did happen in quarter three, where there was a shift in the percentage of the people with disabilities and that had disclosed that are currently in the employ of South African Tourism. Oh, I apologize, I see that was in quarter four. So there is an improvement, but we also, with the fixed-term contracts that have been approved for recruitment, we are also targeting and focusing that we are able to then address this target that we hadn't met since the beginning of the financial year. Chair, also linked to that, we have as a target a vacancy percentage that we need to, which is a threshold that relates to staff establishment. The target, again, from the beginning of the financial year, the target was not achieved. We ended the quarter at 17% at the end of quarter three, so the end of December 2023. What we've done there is to look at opportunities to improve the score. The main target is to get to the 8%, but with the approval for us to be able to recruit critical positions, we were able today to improve the rating by 3%. The information that I currently have is that we have 14% that we're sitting with, but there are also processes that are underway for recruitment led by our human capital business partners together with line managers to make sure that we begin to address this target that hasn't been achieved for most of the financial year. Chair, I will then move to page six, which is slide six of my presentation, which then talks to business enablement. This is where we account for the work that we do under insights and analytics, as well as the Digitech environment. So for this specific program, we achieved 91% out of our planned targets for quarter three, and the reason for the higher percentage is linked to the target that was delivered in this quarter that was due in quarter four. So we counted it as part of the achievement in quarter three, and it's linked to a study of leading to field work that was undertaken under the quarter. So it's linked to our service that we do to count or collate data around movement of travelers within South Africa. So we also have a target under Program 2 that was not achieved, and it's linked to the APP target, which relates to Best Company to Work For survey. It also says or an equivalent. So at the beginning of the financial year, there was a target that was approved that relates to Best Company to Work For. When it was time for execution, we then realized that because of the size of South African tourism, we actually don't qualify to take part in Best Company to Work For. So that was the feedback we got from the Human Capital Business Unit. Because we have all an equivalent, we then looked at other savings that will still deal with the staff engagement issues that were raised and that we can then use to ensure that we achieve this target. So our Human Capital Business Unit, together with the executive teams, are then working on ensuring that we do deliver on a feedback platform that will then deal with this KPI in quarter four. Chair, I'm on page seven, which is the program three, which relates to leisure tourism marketing. So this is where most of our budget goes into. And out of the planned targets, we had achieved the 100, so there is no variation. So I'll then move, Chair, to program four, which relates to business events. So this is where we account for the work that we do around business events. So out of the planned targets, we also achieved 100% of these targets in quarter three. So there was no variation for page of slide eight, which relates to program four. I'm now moving to page of slide nine of the summary document, which is program five. This is where we account for the work that we do around grading brand experience work as well as tourist experience. So out of the planned targets that we have for quarter three in this particular program, through the leadership of the Chief Quality Assurance Officer, we were able to achieve 100% of these planned targets. Chair, this is then the summary of the non-financial performance. I will hand over to the finance manager here with us to take us through the finances, which are on page 24 of the detailed presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Did you? Honorable members, Sanbonani. I'll take you through page 24 of the detailed presentation. It will only be just 4 slides of the finances. If I may just go, on page 24, we are just looking at our revenue performance. If I may just direct you to the further right, I will just look at just the three months, which is quarter three. Our
apologies, Chase, for not introducing our finance manager. There was an apology from the CFO, who is currently hospitalized. He has asked our finance manager to have his delegation to take us through the finances.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Can you take each other seat? Introducing your
faces. So we have in the room, we have Mami Makola, who is our finance manager, who will take us through the finances. We also have in the room our chief strategy officer, Siyabonga Mthethwa, who's there. And the CFO would have been the other individual in the room today who is me.
Thank you. Our revenue performance for quarter three, we've achieved more than we had anticipated. That was mostly because we received our allocation towards the end of the quarter in December, so that boosted our revenue. We have not received much of our other income. However, that did improve our cash flow situation. If I may just move on to our expenditure, which is page 25, page 25 of slide 25. So we'll just look at our expenditure by our programs, which CEO has spoken to. Year to date, if I may say, our performance or our deficit is 7% of our budget. That is mostly due to some of accrual items like depreciation and other non-cash items like forex losses, but mostly because we also didn't receive the anticipated other revenue. So that sort of left us in a year-to-date 7% deficit. However, in quarter four, we have caught up. When we look at just our quarter three budget performance, in program one, which is our corporate support, we have an underspend. We have an underspend in that line item, mostly due to our remuneration and vacancies. And also in our business enablement, we also did have an understand on what we had thought on what we had budgeted, but this has caught up in quarter four. Expenditure did increase, although very late in the quarter, for leisure tourism marketing, because we had spending and commitments for the summer campaign and also the global brand campaign that was initiated in quarter three. Also business events, we had anticipated that some of the Work for Meetings Africa would have started, but then it started to pick up in quarter four, as well as in our visitor experience, we had also slower spending. And most of this, if I may just generally say, it was mostly just to just delay our cash flow, because at that time we were running very low, so it was just a matter of cash flow management. However, once we did receive our tranche, we were able to pick up mostly in quarter four. Members, if you look also in page 26, we also took our expenditure by economic classification. Compensation of employees has been one area that has been low for the year. But that is, as we know, is mostly due to the delay in placing in vacancies. But critical posts have been approved for placement in quarter four. goods and services, although most of it took place in quarter three, we have picked up on that, but most of also the meetings Africa expenditure will take place in quarter four. However, in that area, we continue to monitor that our budget spending is in accordance with what we had budgeted. On slide 27, we are just representing how the budget is spent by goods and services. Our major expenditure is to media as a marketing organization. We also spend 25% in activations. I've included explanations at the bottom of what each classification is. We also spend 16% of that of our 16% of our marketing budget on production and so on. We also spend on travel expenditure, but most of that travel expenditure is mostly because of marketing purposes and not for staff. We also spend in hosting. We also spend 7% in research. So that, members, is in a nutshell, is our performance for quarter three in terms of financial. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. That is the summary of our financial and non-financial information. I think it's also important just on page 29, slide 29, of the initial presentation to confirm that our organogram is still 202 individuals, and then to date we are sitting with a grand total of 168 positions that have been filled. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I'm going to allow you to interact with the report as presented before us by South African Tourism. On your presentation, before I note, honourable members, on your presentation on page 5, you highlight capacity constraints within the business unit. What do you mean by that?
Thank you, Chair.
And also, you need to capture the language of our country very correctly. There is nothing called people with disabilities in this country. There's no such a thing. It's people living with disabilities. And why do you want people to disclose when you have a responsibility to recruit people living with disabilities? And in our previous portfolio committees, we raised this matter very sharply, that there is no way that you can overlook the representation of people living with disabilities in all the positions which you have. And it's even worse these days because the inclusion goes as far as the LGBTQI plus A communities that must be included in everything that we do in the country, and the president has been very, you know, emphatic on these particular matters of inclusivity. It cannot be that out of the 168 positions which you filled in South African Tourism, there is no people living with disabilities. We reiterate, and in the last meeting, we asked you a very straightforward question. Whether you want to comply or not, you must tell us as a portfolio committee so that you are able to see what to do. What am I can force you to comply, because you are empowered by the rules book of this parliament. We will force you to comply. There is no way that you can comply. on this matter, and I think we are raising it for the last time. In all the campaigns which you undertaken, the summer campaign, which we think that it was aborted along the way, and this is a campaign that enables tourism to contribute to the job creation of the country. What happened to that program? Where is it now? And the Easter program is a program or campaign that you are supposed to be presenting before the portfolio committee, because we are approaching Easter. The Reverend was telling us about Easter weekends, churches, and what have you, inviting us to churches. We need to know. On the compliance in terms of 30 days payment to your contractors, you are reporting that you have achieved 100% of that. But in the previous meeting, I remember, honorable members, here, when your monies were held, they cited the fact that these contractors are not paid. Why are you not paying people who have delivered to you as the entity? 30 days compliance, is you can be prosecuted for that. You are literally against the law if you are holding payments of these people who are implementing some of the things business buyers you know better. People must be paid, otherwise they are going to be litigated. And these are the issues which we raise here. And now you bring a report, you are saying 100%, and on the other side, honorable members, we are raising something contrary to what is on your report today. On the issue of the board, we said to you long time ago, submit a report on how many board meetings that were there, the compensation of the board members, their remuneration, and everything else that has to do. And the report which you are submitting here today is very much glossy. Beautiful report on that. And where I'm sitting, I believe it's not a true reflection of what we were anticipating. And, you know, the beauty about these reports is that when the Auditor General comes to the Portfolio Committee and reports something contrary to what you have reported here, it will be very much glaring for you, because you are reporting only 33 meetings. When in the beginning, when they had not finished a month, those people had set boards more than they are required by the Act of Tourism itself. More than 9, and now you are bringing here 33 board meetings. So if by intention you are lying to Parliament in these reports, you know, lies are short legs. Because looking and perusing this report and where you are reporting the compensation, I'm sure there is something that you are hiding. And we've been asking for this report. Till today, we have not received it. Instead, we are receiving a summary of meetings of the board, when there were meetings of the board that are more than 33 that took place. We know it. We know that. But we are waiting for the Auditor General to bring that thing formally to our meeting so that we are able to deal with it and make it a point that head-on is dealt with. Honorable members, I'm going to allow you to want to notice. Honorable Mbose, Honorable Ismail, followed by Honorable Matumba, Honorable April, you'll be the last person. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, to honorable members. This department, FAT led by the DG, a very good morning to yourself, Chair. Chairperson, let me welcome and appreciate the fact that finally we have a board. And hopefully there's going to be stability this time around. We won't wake up DG tomorrow to the board chairperson as resigned or hopefully there's going to be stability. I also welcome the presentation, Chair, and of which I think I share the same sentiment with yourself in terms of the clarity or further elaboration on the issue that the first issue that you raised, Chair, in terms of the targets which were not achieved, Chairperson. I so wish that they can kindly elaborate on the lack of capacity. I'm also happy, Chair, that within the board, the disability sector is represented. Maybe he will be able to assist the department in terms of the recruitment of the people from the sector, and they'll be able to meet their targets, Chair. Chairperson, on the detailed report, it is stated there on a target which is not met, the 17% of vacancies, and there's another one. But on both, the corrective measure there is three-term contracts being considered. Maybe they, if they can elaborate on this corrective measure, which appears almost on most of the targets, Chair, that have not been met. Also, on the issue that has to do with vacancies, the corrective measure there is that they will establish a recruitment plan. Does that therefore mean that there was no plan in place? Maybe also can be elaborating on the question that has to do with this thing of capacity. Can you be detailed in terms of it, Chairperson?
I think that's sure. Yeah.
I also welcome the fact that Chairperson, for the minister did share with us that they will now receive monthly and quarterly reports through the REP, because previously we had a challenge of the entity REP that was not reporting back to the department chair.
Good morning to you, Chair, good morning colleagues, and good morning to everybody. Pleased to meet each and every one of you. And thank you for the presentation. I also just have a few clarity-seeking questions. Some have been mentioned before already by my colleague on my left-hand side and the Chair, however. I see on Program 1, you know, corporate support achieved 63% of its planned target for quarter 3, which is obviously well done. But you spent 85.9% of the budget. So that tells me there's an over expenditure there. If you could just elaborate on that, please. On page 4 as well, this has been already mentioned before, I think. It says here that two planned meetings was not convened due to the unavailability of project team members. Mm-hmm. Now, why were these members not available? I mean, just give us some clarity as to, I mean, if somebody dropped to do something, I want to know why were they not available. On page 5, capacity constraints within the business unit. Please, can you just saying something is not telling us anything. We're not there with you. We're not understanding the internal issues. Can you provide us with more detail on the capacity constraints? And then, again, on the vacancies, what is the actual percentage vacancy rate? And please can you specify, although you stated here on page 13, the vacancy rate is 17%, which is not in line with the target. Your corrective measure is 6-term contracts are being considered and prioritized in quarter four. So you are actually telling us that these are all fixed-term contracts, and are we looking at permanent contracts? What are we looking at in order to eliminate or address this issue in totality? And then on page 6 of your summary, the plan of action to improve the rating as the best company to work with service or equivalent was not delivered as planned given delays in the project. So can you tell us how far you are with this now? I mean, give us a progress report to say that, you appointed this many people, this is where you are, something a bit more specific, because it's very wide. This document is very wide. Page 7, leisure tourism marketing. You achieved 100%. Well done. Maybe you can just give us a brief of the targets that were achieved. I don't want the whole report, just touch on it. Because as the chair says, it's very, looks very nice and well done to do good work. We need a bit more meat, if you can put it that way. Page 8, business events achieved 100%. Well done again, but can you please tell us something more about it? Like, what were these events, or where were these events held? At least we can also do some, Googling and see really what happened. And then on page 9, tourist experience achieved 100% of its planned targets. Well done on achieving the target. But can you give us a brief summary, because you only spent 60% of the budget, whilst you achieved 100% of your, is this telling us that you are not spending the budget properly, or are we just in savings, or, how are we going to be looking at the budget going forward? And then again, I think the tree already covered the point on the meetings and, so forth. I won't touch on that way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the House. I'll start by the board. Chair, I don't see anyone below the age of 35, unless if they said there was the one, but I don't see any youth. And also, I would have expected to get the geographical spread of this board, where they're coming from, because you will find it's a board of people who are living in Johannesburg who don't have the appreciation of what is happening in the corners of our country and the touch of what is happening there. So it will be advisable to get a board of people who geographical spread, who know what is happening in Northern Cape, they were born there, who are coming from Limpopo, not who just hear about it or read about it at school. The other thing, it's on the employment of the CEO and the CFO. I would want to again remind the minister about section 42, subsection 3 of the constitution, that we do oversight on the cabinet. So what we want is exactly that which they brought to the cabinet and say, this is how we employed them. So this is what we want here. We want a full report with those. First, starting from adverts, that report, that is how it must be structured. We must see the adverts, we must see people who applied for those posts, what they got. That's how they must paint a picture for us to scrutinize the work done. So when we are told here we don't know who applied and all those things, we are going to see in the newspapers that some qualifying individual was not appointed, but what we are getting is word of mouth, is a gossip. So we want it in writing That is when we can take a decision, we can do oversight. And the Constitution in Section 42, Subsection 3, it says scrutinize the work done. So it means we must do it thoroughly on behalf of South Africans. I see something about Operation Clean Audit and all that, those, but I'll go to page 9. Part of Operation Clean Audit is improving the information technology environment. And you have the Chief Digital Transformation and Technology Officer who's staying at home because some whistleblower is saying he was not hired correctly. So who do you punish between the hired and the one who hired? Now, if you go and look on how that person was removed from the post, you will see a letter of intention to suspend. I would have loved to have a legal person here. A letter of intention to suspend, that is suspending. So it's some of the things that you must look at, because when we write you a letter of intention to suspend, we are saying, tell us your side of the story so that we can either suspend you or not suspend you. But the same letter is suspending, but it's a letter of intention to suspend. Because you can explain and we understand your explanation. We said, no, there are no allegations here. Or we said, no, you have something strong. You can continue to work when we are doing our own investigations. Now, we say we want to improve, but we have, and if you go and look at this, when we're saying pitching of black excellence, when you go and look at the CV of that individual, you will be shocked, highly educated than all of us combined. So, and young, at some point when I was reading his qualification, people even get, or no, you are not going to finish. You can stop there. But they was just suspended like that with a letter that when you read it in your board, you will see that the letter is a joke. Now, again, the entity cites the unavailability of project team members for some planned meeting on page 9. Now, the question is this the result of having vacant posts that you cannot achieve this? And part of having those vacant posts is because there is some playing there where people are just being suspended over nothing. Now, let me go down. It also speaks of invoices to supplier were paid within the required 30-day period. It's not true. I wrote a letter to the minister. I wrote a letter to the CEO. The answer that I got from the minister is a different story. It's telling us that invoice that did what we didn't pay because, but this report is not here. So if you are going to dive deep, you will find that there are those who are not paid and there are stories behind. And you know what's painful about our business people, mainly colored and black, and let me say Africans. Shem, they will tell you all their pains. But when you say, right, I met a certain woman, she was crying, I'm not getting paid. I said, no, man, write me an invoice with interest because it's more than 30 days. I will submit it myself. She said, hey, but I'm no longer going to get anything. I'm going to be victimized. Let me leave it like this. Let me pray that one day they will pay me for the work that I've done. So that is the other side of these business people, because they are scared to go and look for their money. And it's not in this entity only. I worked in the municipality. White contractors don't pay. They will invoice, you don't pay. They send another invoice with interest. Ours, they just beg until. Now, page 12, disability employment, people to disclose, check. That's against the Constitution. It's up to, we can say, go and hire people with who are living with disability. And you say, internal, those that are there that are already hired, they must, one by one, they must disclose. Disclose what? It's up to, we said people living with disability. Some of them, they fine or no, I don't have any disability, I'm fine the way I am. Even when I don't see myself as a person who's living with disability. So why must those people disclose? Some of the things they don't want to disclose themselves. So it means you must go, if it means to headhunt or to have a post that is saying only people living with disability must apply, let it be. Because this thing, it has been like that for a long time, and once they come here, we are told people are not disclosing. Disclosing what? Vacancy rates, I will skip it on page 13. I'll go to page 15, best company to work for survey. The way you see it as it is, it's because the SAT is not the best company to work for. And I'm not giving you a rumor. What the chairperson was telling you is, I also received it, Chair. Our former acting CFO passed. Now you have a woman who is sleeping in hospital. She's sleeping in hospital fighting for her life, right? Now, this woman is being forced to be prosecuted by the entity. This is the best company to work for. I mean, even in the funds, that will never happen. Sitting in that bed, she must be untying with the machine doing ting, ting, and relatives sitting on the side and say, these are the people I'm working for. These are my colleagues. These are people who have my back. These are people who can serve me coffee. And when she's in hospital, she must sit in a DC and be disciplined. Comrades, colleagues, even those who hated us will never do that to us. This matter must be investigated as soon as possible. Who did that? Where? She's in hospital, a doctor is called to confirm if he can make plans for this woman to be prosecuted. So, really, that's not the best company to work for. It has never happened anywhere in the country. Maybe if it is in Israel and Palestine and the person is a Palestinian. Chairperson spoke of do not burn your fingers. And I was supposed to raise it when I was starting with the board. We were shocked to receive a report here because we were told that this person was involved in a bribe, right? Mm. And it was all over the news, she took bribe. A report came here, and that report was saying it was a ticket that was paid for, and a ticket, it was economic, right? Economy class. Tickets. You look at it, you find it's a pure human resource matter that can be dealt with at that level, and she can be punished at that level. The matter is being blown out of proportion for nothing. It's a pure human resource matter that can be brought with. Out of excitement, people want to go and watch a match, then they accept the ticket. Now, you ask yourself, anyone can tell you, one, if a bride, I'm giving you something so that you can do something for me in return. And the report, when it comes back, it doesn't show us all the reports they wrote. It doesn't show us where something was done back as a favor in return. So that is a matter that if there was no witch hunt, that is the matter that could have been settled. I mean, we were very much worried as Parliament to say the action didn't stop or didn't dent the company in doing its mainstream work. It's a side issue of human resource. They shouldn't even have brought it in Parliament, because we want to speak of development and economic recovery. Summer campaign, you dealt with it. I wrote to the minister as well. Last time we created more than around about between 1,000 and 2,000 jobs. This year it's less than 400 jobs. And I did write to Bronwyn. I did write to the CEO, CFO, asking, why are you cutting summer campaign? Why are you not doing something with the summer campaign, because it's going to create jobs? Unfortunately, they had a chance to do something. They decided not to listen, and jobs were not created. Simple. So I didn't wait to come here and address the matter, Chair. I addressed the matter as it was happening. Page 24, it's TOMSA. I just want clarity. If TBCSA is not giving money, and page 241 and 42, it's on the attendance. I'm not understanding where you have one person attending in marketing and commercial, because we asked who are they attending these meetings with. Lastly, to the board, Chair, I want to advise you of this, and this will have legal implications. Mr. Tim Harris was acting as the chairperson of the board, right? I tell you now, you can ask when you leave here. According to the Act, he must be appointed and by the minister, and it must be gazetted that he is going to be the chairperson of the said board. There is not even a single gazette that is gazetting Mr. Tim Harris as the chairperson of the board. What you are going to, the person who was gazetted is Mr. Zwelibanzi Mtambo, who in the first meeting he said, I am not going to be available for being chairperson. Therefore, I am recommending Mr. Tim Harris to be the chairperson. And because already Mr. Tim Harris was busy acting as the chairperson before there was a gazette, and he had to know from our meetings that there must be a gazette, something called a gazette of that, what do those who know English, erratum. It was made that gazette. So when you gazette that thing, it means you are fixing, rectifying an error. So that one of appointing Mr. Mtambo, it was not an error, because it was in a meeting where Mtambo appointed Mr. Tim Harris. We have minutes of this meeting where Mr. Mtambo said, I am the one who recommended Mr. Tim Harris to be appointed. So all decisions that Mr. Tim Harris took as the chairperson are all illegal, because of what? He was not the chairperson, and he was never a chairperson. It's something that we have even in writing. You can go and check. If you go and find that gazette, it's something as much. It's not there. We have addressed it even in this meeting. So all these people that you are investigating, all these people that are suspended, these are the things that are being done by a person with no legal capacity to do so. So you have to look into the matter on what do you do then. Do you bring them back, open the investigations afresh, or investigate when? And lastly, Chair, there is an impression that was made that ICU, SIU, is investigating FAT. There is no such. SIU came here and made it clear to us that the investigation is by FAT. But what FAT did was to ask from FIU to bring manpower to assist. So an impression was created when people's laptops were taken that FIU is investigating you as the team of FAT. Lastly, Chair, my apology. You know, a best company to work for. Those employees of FAT cried blood, cried tears to say the CFO, CEO is abusing them. And nothing was done before she was appointed. We were expecting, I hope the minister was supposed to be here, the minister to do away with the dark cloud of abusing workers in FAT and then appoint her when the dark cloud is away. Now she's appointed as CEO with the dark cloud of abusing workers, which is like rubber stamping that she's here to stay and she can do as she please and there is nothing that you can do. And would like, and it would be better for us to, if we're saying what we have a campaign of the best company to work for, to have that matter to be dealt with, because it was everywhere. They reported to this committee, they reported to the minister, to a point where they had to even go to media to say the abuse is too much. And one-on-one, they do report that the abuse is too much. We send things, they are not signed, it's too much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for recognizing me, Chair. I'm going to try to be very brief. Let me start by saying today for me is a very delightful day. I'm very happy. I'm impressed that we could at this day say that through your leadership, Chairperson, the Minister, and the DG, we have got a full complement of a board that we are confident that they will work to the best of their abilities to deliver the much-needed capacity that we expected you to bring. South Africa is relying on the tourism department a lot for our GDP and to create jobs. And you guys are playing an integral role. You must remember that this role is not for yourself and for your families and for your friends, but it is so that South Africans can benefit from tourism. You are in a key position that requires a lot of responsibility. Must never take it lightly. When you come here to the portfolio committee, you'll always find that sometimes we are firing, but not so that we are firing at you. We are firing because we are elected representatives of the people of South Africa, and their want is to prosper. This is our intent when we engage with yourselves. Now let me welcome the reports that we have received and light out one or two of the things that that is close to my heart. Chairperson, I would want us to, next time you see all of them have got this paper with our faces on, I would like to see something like that, DG, where we have also their faces on a piece of paper so that we can identify who is who, although this is not a zoo. It's more like Animal Farm. So I would like to ask the chair, I feel taken aback for the four people that did not arrive, that is appointed as a back onto the board, except for one who has got a hospital appointment. I think it is starting on a bad foot to hear about Lazelle, Jordan, and Stella, and Opa is here, Opa is here. Yeah. For the four that is not here, I would like you to convey the message that they have really started on the wrong foot, and I wish that the chairperson of this committee can invite you guys again so that they understand what we mean when we say it's a wrong foot. We want to treat you with respect, but we expect the same level of respect coming back. Also, just correction, chairperson, the professor was your professor. I've never seen him in the class. So you've seen him. I haven't seen him. But now that you told me, professor, please don't mark me down when I give you a marking here. That was on a lighter note. Chairperson, I am not happy with the corporate support program, with this underachievements that has happened here. I think the instability in the board is part of the things that we can blame for these kind of things that has not happened, but we hope to see serious improvements with regards to the underperformance that you've brought here. And yes, my colleagues have said where you have said to us you had 100%, tell us what was that 100%, what did you measure yourself on, so that we don't get surprised when the AG comes and you will come back and say you said this, but this is another thing. I want to run straight to slide number 29, where we talk about human capital, management, and employment equity. Colleagues, I need an explanation, DG. When you talk about top management, and I see there's just one African female there, what do you mean when you say top management? Secondly, I am particularly perturbed that in senior management, my constituency is not represented at all. There's not even a single colored person there. Is it because you are saying to us that there's no skills in the colored community? Are you saying that they don't apply for these jobs? Or are you saying to us they are just blatantly excluded from being hired by Tourism South Africa? I am passionate about this because it's not the first time that I've brought this thing up to see that the colored community is not represented in management here, whether they be male or female. I'm worried that I see that you've got 34 foreign nationals in professionally qualified positions, while you only have 22 South African males and 35 South African females. Now, I'm not xenophobic at all, but are you indicating to us that there's such a huge skills gap in professionally qualified people in South Africa, where we've got such a high unemployment rate with many qualified graduates sitting outside at home? Are you really saying to us that the human capital is doing their work when it comes to this employment? This is something that needs to be looked at and looked at with the seriousness that it deserves. The Short Left campaign is one of the flag bearer campaigns, and I think I want to hear a little bit more about that. And finally, the hubs. I know that there is so many, there's controversies about the hubs. Not going to bring it up as if it is not happening. There's controversies. There is a former hub manager, head of the hub, whose wife is renting out property that SAT is renting from them in North America. So when I'm the head of the hub in the North America node, I can just say, no, my wife will have this property and we are going to rent from my wife, and then we're getting paid, me and my wife, from this SAT. And then you are paying in US dollars, our money. Things that needs to be looked into with urgency. Look at what is happening in our hubs and our nodes, because these are centers that is supposed to bring some kind of economic return and tourists to come and visit our places. It mustn't be places where our hub heads are now establishing themselves outside our country on the ticket and on the expense of the South African taxpayer. Chairperson, with all of that said, Again, well done, DG and Minister in Absentia, and yourself, Chairperson, and to the rest of the team, the crew. We are still friends. Whatever you do, vote on the 29th. Thank you.
Hey, you're landing point, though. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members, for your interactions. DG, I'm sure you're going to take the question on the Gazette. The minister, by the way, she came to the meeting from the cabinet, and we appreciate that. And she had to go back to the cabinet because she has an item there. So that's why she left before our meeting could conclude. I thought it's important to convey that message to the meeting so that there is no misconstrued ideas on her leaving the meeting. So, DG will respond on the Gazette, which was never there, on that particular person. And the other issues which were raised, they require the minister to respond herself, because the DG won't be able to respond to some of these issues, like the issue that concerning the report of the entire recruitment processes that unfolded at South African Tourism, and the whole emphasis on the disciplinary proceedings. I'm sure that the board can respond to that, because Ms. Buliwe is at the center of that issue of the disciplinary proceedings there, whether you're calling it purging of black excellence or DC processes, but she is at the center of that process. I am saying this with conviction because the reports were presented to the portfolio committee, and they are very detailing her name. She's the lead witness there. I don't know what is she witnessing, because she was not there for a very long time, and she was brought back from the woods to deal with certain individuals there, and hence she is rewarded in this position of the CEO today. And then all these other, the issue of the geographic spread in terms of the appointment of the board, DG Indoya Akule, you are going to respond to that. And all these other questions that require the minister to respond, it would be unfair for us if we think that the DG will be able to respond on behalf of his principal. So I am going to allow you, DG, to respond on the issues which were raised, and then pass the baton to other people that are supposed to be responding on other things that are raised here by honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, honorable members, and also to the colleagues from the impact and the board members, as well as the staff members of SAT. Honorable Chairperson, let me start with the geographic spread. An offer that was made by the minister was that we will share the detailed submission that was made with regards to the board. So it includes all of that with specifics, so that I don't get into it and I find myself giving you information that might
be. You appointed the board and recommended to the minister. Is there geographical spread in what you have recommended to the minister as the department? I think that's the question. Whether the minister is going to submit a detailed report or not, but as a person that presided over the appointment of the board, you must be able to give highlights in terms of the geographic spread as required here. An honorable member raised that issue, and the youth under 35 years, which is not represented, whether there were no nominations or not, then anything else and everything else that the minister is committed to will still come, but you are required to respond. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, I don't have that particular document here, so I'm going to try my best without too much detail specificity. We do have members of the board that come from various provinces. They will not necessarily cover all the provinces, but we do have members that come from Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Western Cape,
KwaZulu-Natal.
So we do have a fair spread, let me put it like that. And there were two considerations. It would be the consideration of the geographic spread and the spread of the skills. So those two combinations were also considered. We don't have anyone who falls under the category of youth in the real sense. But we have not filled all the board positions as yet. There is still two that are remaining. So in that particular process, those are some of the things that are actually going to be addressed, including the furtherance of that particular geographic spread. So that was the indication that we would need to do that. The reason for that, Prabhu Chairperson, is because in the application and the requisite expertise and so on, we could not find at that time. So that space needed to still remain so that it could actually then be filled by people that would be able to cover that particular aspect of demography, but also cover the aspect of the expertise. So that's but we will provide all the other detail. The second one is the, I wish I present the issue of the Gazette. It's a difficult question, and I will explain why I'm saying it's a difficult question, because it has an element of interpretation. And the initial gazetted name is that of Mr. Zwelivanzi Vincent Mutapa.
Mm-hmm.
That's the initial gazetted name. The correction that was made, the name that was put in that correction is that of Mr. Timaeus. But the question that would arise is the interpretation. So I think probably by the time we actually have the final audit by the AGSA, they will be able to say, is this or is this not? Will this stand or will it not stand? But I'm not a competent person to be able to make that particular judgment. So far, my understanding is that that correction, which was actually put there in a gazette, from the date that was gazetted, the person whose name was gazetted nullified the previous name that was actually gazetted, and the new person became the person that would then execute the functions associated with the responsibility of that aspect of the gazette. But I, like I'm saying, Honorable Chairperson, it's a difficult question. I'm not a lawyer. I am paralegal, but this requires paralegal, but this requires real interpretation. The other one I did indicate, on which I present, that it's something that we will be able to provide. There's a couple of things that Minister did say
we will submit, but we'll definitely make sure that we do that submission so that you've got the exact facts in terms of where the people come from and so on. Yesterday in the orientation, well, not orientation, in the introduction meetings with the minister, some of them were boasting about their rural credentials on the board. Interestingly, one of the people who was talking about this, last time, Honorable Chairperson, you talked about Kwacho, and this person says, well, I come from not far from Lule, and that's the proximity is really very close to that project we were discussing. So there is really, if you talk about a person like Obapilane, he comes from Mpumalanga, deep in the, yeah, so that sort of context. So they sufficient diversity in that particular mix. And I do also need to declare that, like you declared, Honorable Chairperson, about Prof, I want to declare that I have known Dr. Tony when he was still working with the Department of Social Development, and he acted as a teacher for quite a long period of time. And at that time, I was already a DJ. So he was a fellow FOSAT member at that time. So it's important to declare things like this. We were colleagues. That's correct. Thank you.
Good morning, maybe afternoon, Honorable Chair and all Honorable Members. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your warm welcome, and without wasting further time, just indicate that we've also yet to have an induction. Yesterday was our first meeting with the Minister, but I have, however, as I'm sure my fellow board members have, taken note of all the challenges and concerns raised around the internal investigation, and I'm sure that it is something that will be priority that we will look into and feedback accordingly in terms of our findings, as at the moment there's things that we are not privy to, but I'm sure as soon as we've convened we'll be able to answer the concerns and the questions around the issues raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go through the questions. I also have my colleagues who will respond to some of the questions. Chair, I'll start with the question around capacity and providing clarity where that stems from. So that statement stems from the moratorium that we had at the State Tourism from since the beginning of the financial year, where we were not allowed to employ. And I know it was lifted then piecemeal. When we realized that it has a material impact on deliverables, we then went back to the board at the time and requested if, one, the moratorium could be lifted, and if not, we then accepted that the approval to employ critical position based on a fixed term contract. So that's the link to capacity, and there has been a shift in the current year where we got approval to then employ. And just linked to that, with all the challenges and the other targets, it's very clear, at least internally, that we need, it has to be targeted. So it can't be a normal ad that goes out. That's a conversation we've had, and we are prioritizing it with the approval that we have so that we can then start to see positive shifts in the targets that we have in there. The input question, Chair, fully apologize for it, and I take note, we'll make sure it's correct going forward around the terminology. There was also Honorable Ishmael, you asked about just linked to capacity constraints, just to confirm the number. So the number that we had at the end of December was 17% vacancy rate. We then got approval to appoint, which will then impact or show some movement in the 17%. We got that approval during the last board cycle, and we started that process. So to date, we are sitting with closed recruitment processes. There's a shift of about 3%, so there is a 14% vacancy rate, but I also know that there are other processes at different stages, be it interview stage or even shortlisting or advertising. And the intention there is to show that now that we have this tool to move the dial on certain human capital related targets, we'll use it. There was also a question around the different programs, when I take note and accept around the detail of what we have achieved. In the detailed presentation, we have per program, we've outlined the different targets and work that we would have done, including what has been achieved to date. So, for example, Honorable Ishmael, you asked on Program 3 and what exactly did we achieve and what was done. So on page 16 of the detailed presentation, we highlight that one of our key deliverables was around the global brand campaign for the year. It's also then linked to the work that we do in country, where the country office will then localize the work that we do. So we outline which parts of those we met. We also talk in the same detailed section for Program 3 around the work that we've done is the work that we had to do even in Africa. There was a work that we did in Kenya, so East Africa, after the visa-free exemption for visa for Kenyans, so that we can then get those numbers to South Africa, so that another was that the RGM or regional manager for Africa focused on amongst other things, but the details is in the detailed presentation from page 15. You also asked about the same question for program 4 as well as program 5. So for program 4 in the detailed presentation, we go through all the targets and the projects that we had to deliver. So in Program 4, linked to B2B brand campaign that was done during quarter 3, that's also the work that we do where we bid linked to the subvention funding, as well as the events that we host in BTSD. So the detail is sitting from page 20 of the detailed presentation. Also linked to the work that, or the pre-production work we would have done for Meetings Africa that actually happened in quarter 4 of the financial year. So that is in program 4. Then asked Honorable Ishmael on program 5 that what exactly are we saying when we say we've achieved 100%. So what are those projects that we worked on? So for tourist experience, the bulk of the work is around grading. So I'll tell you that the graded numbers which were achieved in quarter 3. There was also work done by the team to review the grading model as well as the value proposition for grading. That's on page 22. I also just I'll let my colleague deal with the question around summer campaign and Easter campaign. I've touched on that. And then on meetings, Chair, the request for detail, you are right. It was asked. In fact, I remember one of the meetings, we were told that we had to provide within 24 hours the information. I do know that there was a submission, so what I'll do after this meeting is just check if where exactly with that information is. What we have in the detail presentation linked to meetings is the quarterly fees that were paid, but the year-to-date that we can provide, because that was a specific request in the previous meeting. We also have, based on other guidance that was received also from previous meetings, the types of meetings that members would have been part of. There is a question from Honorable Matumba. You specifically asked about Tantra and what the status there is. So we did meet with the TAMSA chair and the CEO because our transfer from TAMSA is dependent on the board of TAMSA approving the allocation. They have confirmed that we will be getting an allocation in the current financial year. In fact, what they've said is that it's going to be more than the allocation from the previous financial year. In the previous financial year, we had received over 115 million from TBCSA, so those engagements are ongoing with them. There was also a question on summer campaign. I let the CMO deal with that. There was a question from Honorable Mpushe who asked about fixed term contracts and the link to vacancies. So the only reason why we have fixed term contracts is because there was a moratorium, and we have certain projects that are under strain, linked to acting positions, linked to not having enough people in the organization. So when we say fixed term contracts will be used to bridge the gap or to close or deal with capacity issues, that's what we are talking about when we say we had capacity constraints. It's linked to us not being able to fully recruit for those positions on the organogram that are vacant. There was a question, Honorable April, you asked about short-lived, important for domestic numbers. In fact, the reason we are showing positive growth in the domestic market is because of the work that the domestic team does around short-lived. I know that the CMO will talk to that. I take note of the hard-hit allegation around the lease. I know that even though I don't have the detail, but I am aware that one of the issues that we're sitting with the internal audit as well as the seconded individual is linked to this. So it's something that has been raised. I think just in the interest of transparency, is our internal audit recently went to audit the U.S. office. And we are waiting a report from them, but they have raised that there are issues that in the office, and will then go through a process to then deal with that. And again, just for completeness, any internal audit report that we have is disclosed to the AG so that they can then assess and make sure that we are treating issues that are reported correctly. I also wanted, Mami will deal with the spend, but I wanted to just talk to the target of payments within 30 days. There was, to correct, there was a letter where I was copied and sent to the minister, and we did provide a response on it. The key one on payments within 30 days for purposes of the APP is that it's linked to valid and compliant invoices. I know that there has been an issue around invoices that are not paid linked to compliance issues. I've provided a full report to the board and the ministers on those reasons. And yeah, maybe I'm willing to also provide that to board members. Some of the suppliers, in fact, that were not paid are now paying money back to South African Tourism, about 34 million that we're expecting in May, because we had queried those invoices that we paid for services that were not rendered, and we followed up with them, and we had engagement, and there's about 34 million of public funds that are coming back to South African Tourism. Thank you, Chair.
Through you, Chair, I just have one finance-related question from Honorable Mpushe. You asked with regards to Program 1, corporate support, the 85.9% spent versus the 63% target that was achieved. It's just a matter of just simply what we have reported in our budgeting, because we've included all other non-accrual items in our spending. That is just for our reporting purposes, things like depreciation that are not necessarily directly related to the target. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would just want to make a comment. I suppose this is work in progress. I heard you, Chair, very concerned about the terminology that is being used. And I also know that disability is a very emotive issue. In South Africa, we started working on it in the early 90s. At the time at the UN position, we were talking about the 22 standard rules. So we influenced the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. At the UN level, we're talking about persons. But the movement in South Africa stuck with people. And with due respect, I think that there's some looseness in the way that people respond on disability or about disabled people. Because really there's nothing about people living with disabilities. We're not living with anything. We are just having serious problem of access to the environment. So it's important for us to understand that, for instance, yesterday I lost my card, my SSD card. Now, because I've got one thumb, the net bank is unable to process my financial documents. But because we did not do a lot of advocacy at the level of net bank, and I did a lot of advocacy at the level of FNB, at FNB I'm able to use my one thumb. I'm saying, Chair, that I appreciate your vehement position in terms of this, but I think there's a road that we have to travel in terms of how we understand disability. Because in South Africa, we approved the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities in 2015. And there we're talking about people with disabilities. The issue that was raised that we might have to improve in terms of the level of employment of persons with disabilities. It's something that I'm encouraged to. But Chair, in most cases, it's not that disabled people are not there. It's just that people assume that the person that I'm going to employ would be able to or will be able to hear, or the person has no bipolar. So it's all of those categories that needs to be understood first before we just dump people into an environment. That's why the baby people get frustrated and they leave the world of work. So I would humbly submit that the issue that you've raised, I've taken to heart, and I will try and make sure that in our next engagement, there are certain things that we have to also further as our colleague, the CEO, explain, so that at least there's a better understanding in the area of disability. Without wasting your time, Chair, I would like to thank you.
Honorable members, let's note that comment by the board member of South African Tourism, and I am not sure if all your questions were answered. DG, I saw you raising a hand. What is it that you wanted to say before I say what I want to say?
Apology, Chair. The issue which was raised by Honorable Ebra about the 34 foreign nationals, I thought it should be clarified, because it is a matter that was not responded to. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. One of the questions, or in fact two, related to domestic campaign and shortlist, and Brandon was going to respond to that, the CMO, and then I will then come back to issues of human capital. Chair, there was a question on the recruitment plan. There was a question on OPCA. There was a question on exclusion of colored people as well as foreign nationals.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I'd like to provide the feedback on summer campaign and shortlist in terms of the domestic activity. The summer campaign did proceed last year. It was in a slightly different format to the previous fiscal due to the late release of funds. The plan for summer campaign did commence, however, it commenced on the 14th of December and funds were only received by Ethnic Tourism on the 13th of December. The campaign was delivered, a total of 359, almost 360 jobs were created. However, we were being prudent in terms of our planning due to the late receipt of funds. With regards to shortlist overall, there are a few strategic campaigns during the course of the year that seek to drive domestic tourism, which has proven to be quite successful. Since 2019, we have in fact recovered and done better on our domestic numbers by a significant margin. We are currently going into the Easter campaign, which is one of the big campaigns during the course of the year. The second big campaign would be Travel Week, which is in September, which is when South Africa goes on sale to promote the purchase of tourism just ahead of the summer season, and then of course their summer campaign. Apart from this, there are smaller campaigns throughout the course of the year for occasions such as Valentine's Day and June, July school holidays, and it's an ongoing process. For the Easter campaign this year, we don't have results because we're in it right now. The campaign is live. There's a target of 3 million holiday trips for this period. So we look forward to reporting back on that in our next PC session. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on budget. Maybe just repeat, if possible, my colleague can repeat the answer to the 53% versus the spend for corporate support.
Why must the answer be repeated? Why must the answer be repeated? Because I did not hear anyone responding to that question. So how is it going to be repeated?
Apologies, Chair, shall expand on the response that you gave initially, specifically dealing with the 63% that was achieved versus the state.
Thank you for that. With regards to the 63% target achieved for Program 1 corporate support, the spending is higher because we included other accrual items such as our depreciation and forex losses that then pushed the budget spending higher.
They are still responding. Are they done responding?
Chair, I will then answer the question around the recruitment plan on whether or not South African Tourism had a recruitment plan. We did have a recruitment plan, but we had to enhance it with targeting programs that would then shift the targets that we have in the human capital area. But we are not Chair, there was also a question around the exclusion of colored people in the human capital area, professionally qualified. We have numbers, but they are low. And in fact, again, as we get the right to recruit again, linked to focused and targeted recruitment, there is an opportunity there for us to fix it, and it's something that is a priority for us. There was a question, Chair, around the number of professionals number of foreign nationals versus South Africans. The number is driven by colleagues that we have in the country offices who are locally recruited. And then in South Africa specifically for that segment, we do have vacancies at manager and GM level. So as we saw, we will begin to change that process. There was a question, Chair, on the project team not being able to meet that is linked to OFCA. When the analysis was done, it was due to availability of police. Some cited that because of limited number of human resources at the time, they were not able to be in some meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, those are the questions. The CEO said that she is willing to share the report on the invoices which were not paid due to non-compliance. She is willing to share the reports to the minister and the board, and omit the committee that has raised the question. So you are not prepared to share these invoices with the portfolio committee, because the question was raised here in the portfolio committee by the portfolio committee members. So you think that we are not privy to that information. Perhaps that's why you decide to mention your principles. We want that report. And we want that report by the end of business today, not any other day, because it is raised here and the information must be shared with the portfolio committee accordingly. Now, you see, honorable members have raised a number of issues which I think some of them needs a day to dwell on, because they are very much sensitive matters. One, the board of two persons which ran this entity as an animal farm made wrong decisions, as illegitimate as they were, and the issue which was raised with the minister. They've made wrong decisions. The portfolio committee asked for a board resolution in some of these decisions, and even to date we have not received the resolutions of the board on the decisions which they made, wrongfully so. Now, as a board, you are inheriting an entity that has issues of delayed transformation, which has engulfed the entire tourism sector. The lack of support for small, medium, and micro enterprises in the tourism industry, lack of job creation, the instability and the inability to apply strategies to improve the South African brand when marketing South Africa as a country abroad and domestically. The internal audit risk committee of this entity, seemingly it does not exist because there's a lot wrong happening under their noses. Now, when you inherit an entity like this, and glaringly so in the report of the Auditor General, it was highlighted, all these issues of your instability and this and that, they were highlighted in the report of the Auditor General, which we fought to enforce the findings and what needed to happen as per the presentation by the Auditor General. So you need to be a board that will be taking decisive decisions. One, you have arrived just at your doorstep, a CEO was appointed. Whilst you are breathing, a CFO is appointed. Whilst you are at it, you are going to receive the appointments of the executives, and that's where you must put a stop, because you are going to inherit an entity that will have people that are rolling it from the grave, and all the decisions that you take there might not be implemented or might be undermined because you are inheriting a product which is illegal by certain individuals. And even though the portfolio committee raised some of the issues, they were overlooked. The processes of filling the vacancies of the executives at South African Tourism is a process that must be done by this board. The same way we as the portfolio committee raised that even that position of the CEO and the CFO, it must wait for a fully fledged board. But the two-member board decided to overlook that because they had to pay back the persons that they were using against one another in that particular entity. You see, from the seat of a politician, today when you are in a dinner table of the status quo, you benefit a lot and you become a darling. But politics, they are like a soccer ball, they roll and roll and roll. Sometimes it's offside, sometimes it's a goal, sometimes it's an on goal, and what have you. Now, it is always better to stick by the principles of the game instead of wanting to align yourself, because in a political environment, the status quo is bound to change at any given point. Now, if you think when you're in the dinner table, you got it all, wait until the dinner table crumbles, you will see flames. So this is the situation in South African Tourism. It is even worse when you get to understand that it is women driving out other women in senior positions. something which we should not be doing, because where I'm sitting, I see women as a responsibility to fix one another's crowns in these entities, instead of wanting to side with the status quo that will come and go. Because status quo, they come and go, and they leave you there as persons that must work with one another. Now, Honorable Matumba raised many issues and tried to get to the detail of the issues, which I think they will take us the whole day to discuss or reflect on with the board, so that this board understands exactly what you are inheriting. The summer campaign used to be one program that turns the tide for the country in terms of job creation and the participation of young people. But because the person that was appointed by the previous CEO or ever to drive that issue happens to be a person that is not favored by the current CEO, then the campaign must crumble. That's the problem. People are not paid there because they are people who were once appointed to investigate this current CEO on various issues of misconduct in that entity, which led her from resigning. And those people, they are not paid their invoices. So these are the issues that would come to members of the portfolio committee. Sometimes you will get an email and you realize that all of us as a portfolio committee, we are fixated on these emails, and we don't know where these people get our email addresses. But the best thing that I do is not to respond to such emails, deliberately so. And I just take my call and call my phone and call the DG or the minister on such instances. Now, this board has a mammoth task. A mammoth task first, to assure the staff of South African Tourism of a healthy environment to work under. And with the current CEO, that I'm not sure if it will be achievable, because all of us, as we are seated here, we are worried about the email which we got where the current CEO is abusing employees there and favoritism and what have you. That is happening in that particular entity to a point where I really understand why there were no committee members in one meeting, as it is reported here that people did not attend to whatever that was supposed to be attended. Because if you work in a porous environment where in the morning when you are supposed to wake up and say good morning boss, you don't want to wake up, you'll never be productive if you go to such an environment. So that is a task which the board has on his hands. There's a plethora of investigations in the entity which came under the disguise of a whistleblower. We know how that platform is abused in this country. But the beauty of this is that the report of the SIU people with South African Tourism that they are working on, it is exonerating all these people. But the two-member board, because they got a particular agenda and wanted to achieve what they wanted to achieve, they insisted on investigation in the DC. Take a point here of a so-called bribe, as if the bribe was in a form of Mandela in a plastic bag. And that was not the case. And the employee in that particular report, it is highlighted that she wanted to declare, or she did a declaration and she sent the declaration on this particular matter to the acting CEO of that time, and that acting CEO refused to approve the declaration. Pettiness. And now you are sitting with people who are presiding over ADC, forcing the person on a hospital bed to prevent herself in ADC. We need to stop that. As this board, it should not be happening. The AG comes to the portfolio committee and presents challenges on the issues of the ITC or ICT in South African tourism. They come back, they say, we have found someone fitting in ensuring that our problems are improved. The person comes, he implements his skills because the person was an employee of Microsoft, and then the entity improves. But because this person is not wanted by a certain individual there, now the person must be suspended without following due process, having improved the status quo in the entity. Now the question arises, what is it that we want? Do you want improvement or do you want to settle scores? Have these people failed in their duty? Or have they not executed that which was required for them to execute? Is it the issues of incapacity or what? So these are the things that the board must discuss and look into. At some point as a portfolio committee, we took a decisive decision to say no monies must be transferred to South African tourism. It was a hot potato because the rules book empowers us to a point where we can take unpopular decisions and employ those unpopular decisions. Now, the department could not transfer the monies that were due to South African tourism based on our decisions, and that decision was informed by the issue of instability in that particular entity. The last time there was some sort of instability in that entity is when, in terms of the finances, it was before the passing on of the late acting CFO, Mr. Louv. There was some sort of stability there in handling the monies. All these overspendings, they were subsiding. Time you come to the portfolio committee, you see there's an improvement on in all these funny things there. And then unfortunately, he passed on because of depression, you know? So I'm raising these things that are very crucial for the board to be decisive in action and decisive in taking decisions for the betterment of the entity, not the feelings that we catch when we are in these entities. There's an investigation on the dome. The dome is one facility which I view as the best that South African tourism has ever had, because the dome will be able to take you to Soweto, Villa Gaza Street, as if you are walking in the streets of Soweto, showcasing our country. It takes you to Cape Town, you will be as if you are in Robben Island when you are inside that dome. And this dome is investigated today for no apparent reasons, because the reasons that are put forward there raises a question to me that I have raised in the portfolio committee and asked a direct question to the CEO as to who presided over the purchase of the dome, who was the CFO at that particular time. And the CFO was her at the time. And today, there's an investigation on the dome, which she is presiding over herself. What a contradiction of her highest regard, you know? So
all these things, they emanate here, and the people who are leaders in these entities and these departments, they overlook our recommendations as the portfolio committee. The hubs abroad, they were showcasing our country in a very good way, but those head hubs, they are chased now because people want to put their own people there that won't do anything, all because for some certain nefarious ends by these people who are in the position of authority. You have a hard head hub of China that is sitting here in South Africa sitting, but that person is a hard head, is a hub head of China. Now it goes to China when he hears that the portfolio committee is going to China, then it goes to China. And be bold enough to tell us that, you know, well, I'm operating from there in Sentin. What is that house? The Doha Tambo House, what is it? There in that office. Whatever house, that house, you know? And he's sitting there, very comfortable. And things are happening there in China. And we get there, it is Chinese that are running our own hub. How is China going to sell the country which they don't belong to? And you get a presentation to say, yeah, these are the marketers, you know, we use the celebrities of China to showcase South Africa. Oh my God. How does it sound when a China celebrity will showcase South Africa? When we've got plenty of capacity in terms of celebrities and influencers in our country. These are the things that are happening there in South African tourism. And the nice thing is that we get reports and we ATC our records. Chairperson, you can download our reports from ATC. So that as a new board, you are able to familiarize yourself with what has been happening here as a true reflection, because that which is on Hansard becomes a legal document of Parliament instead of the hearsay and the handovers that you'll be receiving that are going to be very glossy from your predecessors. The Department of Tourism had its own challenges, and those challenges were documented in the report of the Auditor General. As a portfolio committee, we managed to push the Department of Tourism, and today we can comfortably say that since we pushed the department and the department managed to get a CFO which is so competent, they've achieved a lot, such that they are sitting on 99% in achievement of all the things that we're complaining about as a portfolio committee, but we still told them that we want that 1%, can't be 100% achievement from the Department of Tourism. Now the question is, what is stopping South African tourism from doing that? But the answer is clear. The two-member board went to get all the bitter people that resigned at South African Tourism and brought them back to senior positions, and that was a digression of the highest regard. One of the things that the board needs to look into is AviaDev. AviaDev is a premium platform dedicated to growing connectivity to and from within the African continent. For two consecutive times, this was hosted by South Africa 2019 and 2022 here in Cape Town. And before that, it was hosted by Rwanda. These people have since taken this thing out of our country. We don't know why it is no longer hosted by our country, and as a portfolio committee, we said that South African tourism needs to sit and look as to what went wrong, where did we go wrong as a country. So
platforms like these are the platforms for us to grow as a country and showcase South Africa. As a portfolio committee, we are still engaging to say Brand South Africa belongs to South African Tourism Department. So then, therefore, it will be prudent that Brand South Africa comes to the Department of Tourism and be one of our entities. Another issue which we raise as a portfolio committee is the issue of the Grading Council, which is under South African Tourism, and it is our considerable view that the Grading Council is supposed to be an entity on its own. It should not be some branch or a South African Tourism must behave like a big brother there and have a subsidiary, you know, in a form of a Grading Council that must stand on its own and have its own CEO and other things. So it is our considerable view that the Grading Council must stand on its own. And this is not a debate which is raised by this portfolio committee. It has been raised by previous portfolio committees. In the legacy reports, it is there. But we don't know why is the department led by the DG is not assisting in ensuring that we have this as an entity of the Department of Tourism. The previous board of TO people, they tried to bring the JMA's DG, joint marketing agreements with private sector, which was stopped by the Auditor General because the Auditor General felt that it was against the PFMA. Mm-hmm. So don't fall into that trap. When they come to you or those who speak with them in the corners, because people have got a tendency of rolling from the grave rollers must be objected. And all these things of the GMAs, they can't be allowed there. This is one of the issues which we raised in the portfolio committee. So, as a board, in your first meeting, you must look into these things. When we come back here, we need to get a report in some of these things which we highlighted. And there's a lot of things that we could bring your attention to because they are very crucial. We see, and the minister presented a board of capable and highly educated persons with different expertise in various fields. And we are hoping that those qualifications and the expertise will enable you to turn the tide in this South African tourism, which does not look good at all for us at the level of the portfolio committee. So I'm going to stop the honourable members. If you still want to raise your follow-up questions, I can allow you, and then we adjourn the meeting at 1:30. Honourable Ishmael, for followed by Honourable Matumba.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify the view that is put it that way. I think you responded on program one. I was asking to respond on program five, you know, where you actually achieve 100% of your planned targets, but you underspent by 63%. That was the difference that I wanted to clarify. And then, Chair, through you, we previously requested a full report from Destination Hub, which we haven't received as yet. I've actually submitted a written question as well, but I mean, I don't see why we should have to wait for that response when we can, you know, can speak a response this way. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. You know, getting an answer from DG, you know, it's very much difficult to get a straight answer. Whether it's through a phone call or what, he will give you an answer that you will remain, you won't get what exactly what you're looking for. But I want to bring it to the committee that I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, but an erratum notice is prepared where there's an error in the writing or printing. So that thing was, there was no error because there was a meeting where Mr. Mutambo, who was gazetted, chaired, it was not an error. And, you know, the DG is very much aware, used the word correction. And when you are doing corrections, you do them through addenda, not through this one of correcting an error. So there was no error in appointing Mr. Vincent Mutambo as the chairperson of the board. So therefore, the problem here is one, members of the board, chair, is that team acted as wrote letters and did and gave instructions as chairperson before there was even that erratum notice, because we made them aware that this man is not the chairperson. But be it as it may, I will move to summer campaign. Chair, I want to put it clear in support. Is the practical reality that I don't know why I just want to be very clear with you. It's either with employees who are there or companies who are there. You will see it on your own. Everything that was there during the time of CEO Muzilikazi, there is an intention of wanting to do away with it. At some point, they know it in the SAT that this company is not to be touched, is not to be appointed, because it's perceived as if it's the company that is working with Muzilikazi. Summer campaign I wrote on the 8th of January, when money was there, I said, you can continue with summer campaign and employ. But it was not done. I wrote 8 January to say continue with summer campaign in order. But the problem was one, even how it was appointed, it was not given a full appointment. It was just a small bit of it. So that there is an impression was created that there is summer campaign. So that is what you are going to see. Now, lastly, Chair, we took a decision as Parliament, because this was passed by Parliament, that a new board must be appointed. It's in writing, we can forward it to you. And that board must be the one that appoints executive members of SAT. So the appointment of CEO and CFO is illegal. Go and look at the resolution of Parliament, not resolutions of this committee, because this committee made resolutions and we took them to Parliament. They were debated. I'm part of those who debated. She debated. Honorable Makubela debated. And Parliament took a resolution that So it's 80 seats. It's there in writing. So you are still going to have that challenge, where it is challenged that the 3-member board, it was made clear that they must not appoint, they must wait for a fully fledged board to be appointed by the minister, and the board is supposed to be the one that make those appointments. So we continue to tell the three member board to say, hey, you are not allowed to do this. And they adventurously did it. But it's illegal because it's there in black and white, and soon if no action is taken, we will write to you to say, when are you going to appoint the executive, because you are the ones who are supposed to appoint the executive. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bush.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, Chair. my apologies, Chairperson, for the late what was identified by an speech check. Part of me wants to finish with the meeting and not raise issues, Chair. Chair, there's this issue of foreign nationals in the employer's group department. I think I'm not sure if I'm the only one who is not satisfied with the response from the department, because the issue there was, are they only employed of the department on the basis of lack of skills or what? I'm just not happy with the response, Chair. That's it. And mind you, we recently received a report that most of our tour guides are foreign nationals.
So I will request that the entity responds on the matter, one, whether these foreign nationals, they've got expertise which no one has in the country, or whether they offer skills to the entity. I think that will be a response which all of us as members of the portfolio committee would want to hear from the entity, because as things stand, it was brushed off. There was no proper response, and I'm going to allow the entity to respond to these questions, which are follow-up questions from the honourable members. And I know DG does not respond to me. I don't know who I'm for me. Yeah, la. That's the DG for you. You must write to him, then he will respond. Because he must safeguard himself, I guess. I don't know from what. So, yeah. I will allow responses.
Thank you, Chair. So I will start with the question from Honorable Ishmael on Program 5, where we achieved our targets and the spend is less. So one of the drivers for the investment in Program 5 is linked to upgrading revenue. So the model we have with our CESA is on cost recovery. So they get paid from this, not additional investment for our budget. So when we meet graded establishments, it's self-funding on that basis. There is a component that's also linked to TRP, but the main driver of that is the cost recovery model with the assessor fees. I've noted the request for a HAP document. We'll ensure that we submit that. There was a question on foreign nationals. So what we are reflecting in that column are employees that are in the country offices where we operate. For hub heads, the rule has always been that we recruit South Africans, but for the levels below, we have what we call locally recruited employees. In fact, in SA, I don't think, and I'll check it so that I say true, we don't have foreign nationals in the as part of the SA-based staff complement, but definitely in the countries, the level below have had locally recruited.
Honorable Ismail, your smile is too loud. So, Your answer. You are fine.
Yeah. I just, no, maybe I should just clarify. Thank you, Jim. You've responded on what it is about, and my question was based on you achieve your target and you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, that understanding the balance of the, like, what has it come as a saving now, or do you really prioritize the budget in order of, and how do you actually work?
Thank you, Chair. If I may, we don't reprioritize it, especially in quarter four. I know that, in fact, just last week, the office of the CFO were dealing with the savings, plus minus 11 million, right, in this environment. So we don't reprioritize. We'll report it to National Treasury.
All of the reports which are supposed to be submitted to the portfolio committee, who are expecting them. The report on the invoices of 30 days, the 34 million which is due to South African Tourism, those who are not in compliance also. That report must be submitted to us, and still we want a report of the board, two board member people who were presiding over this entity taking crucial decisions. We want their board meetings, how many are they? We want to know the compensation in terms of the remuneration and other things from day one, not quarterly, from day one until the last day. We want that information, and we still reiterate that information we give you until tomorrow, and all these things we are giving you until tomorrow, 12 o'clock. We must have received all this information, and we are not going to remind you about this information. By the time you come to the portfolio committee to present yourselves, we would have concluded on the matter discussing as portfolio committee members without you and your Petra. The summer campaign, it is not true that there were no resources to run the summer campaign. It's false. That report which you are, that response of yours, madam, is economical with the truth. For a lack of a better word. So please revise it and give us a proper response when you get to your office. We welcome all the board members, particularly those that are present in this meeting, because you know, first impressions last. It's an old adage. You presenting yourself before the portfolio committee, it shows some level of respect. And in our view, respect must be mutual. If you respect us, we will respect you. If you do your work, we will respect you even more. There's a lot of garbage that you are inheriting here. We are hoping that you will manage to improve, stabilize this entity, which is unstable in terms of the AGR report even, and also ensure that the welfare of the staff at South African Tourism is well handled. And I'm hoping that you will meet with the staff before we get there, because we are coming to South African Tourism as a portfolio committee. We have a right to be there and interact with everybody from lower level to the higher level. So we are hoping that by the time we get there, you would have interacted with those people. And all that which we are recommending here, we hope that you will be able to implement. Did you want the full report on the adverts? Did you capture that of both the CEO and the CFO employment and all the other candidates that were there with their qualifications? That report, we need to have it by the end of business today. Still early, it's our first one. We want that report, because it's a report that is there already. It's not like a new report was written. Of people that applied for both the CEO and the CFO position, they are full CVs and the advertisement as it was put out there in public. We once here had a CFO which was appointed without due process. When we probed, we were told that the CFO was headhunted. And he was headhunted to deliver Tottenham Hotspur. Mm-hmm. And immediately we said that CFO must be released, because he presided over a deal that was undermining our country, South Africa, and her people. In the midst of poverty, unemployment, crime, load shedding, you want to give 1 billion for a logo inmate t-shirt of a soccer club without following due process, even though. So we don't want to get into that situation. So that's why it's important that we get all the necessary information that we need. So, honorable members, chairperson of the board, the DG. Yeah, we can confidently say now chairperson of the board, because there is no ambiguity. Due process was followed for this board to be appointed, and it caught us by surprise to learn that other people that we know are in this board. Hoping that when in this board, they won't change character, because we know their character. So we want to thank you for coming and presenting yourselves, and we wish you well in this entity that is so tricky and very shady people that are in this entity. And they don't love one another, people in this entity. So you must enforce love amongst the people that are working in this particular entity, so that they stop this thing of selling one another to the highest bidder, because it's not human. DG, hoping that you are going to take some of the issues that you raise here and share them with the minister, because she is now in the cabinet, and we do appreciate the fact that she took some time to come and introduce the board members to the portfolio committee. Rightfully so, because it was going to be a shocker to us if these board members were going to come on their own with you, because you have not appointed the board members, so it was not for you to introduce and present them to the portfolio committee. we appreciate that the minister came for that. And if there's nothing else, honorable members, on the presentation, allow me to adjourn the meeting so that if board members want to catch their flights, they are able to get to the airport on time. We are a committee that applies an open door policy. If you want to bounce anything, we are not going to embargo anything when it comes to communication. We are open for communication. If you are unable to get hold of the chairperson, there's Cindy there. If you want to bounce anything with the portfolio committee, there's Tebogo here, Tsepo here, who is the secretary of the portfolio committee. So if you want those Hansard reports of the portfolio committee and the ones that are 80 seats, you are free to communicate with Tsepo or go to PMG. Oh, those ones, they go to Verbatim, my goodness. PMG also reports on our committees. So all that which we do here in the portfolio committee is for public. Not unless we have instances where we are forced to have closed meetings because of sensitive information. Something we once did few weeks ago at a closed meeting, which was not so closed, was supposed not to be closed, but it was closed, and we realized later, it was not necessary for us to close the meeting because there was nothing sensitive. But then it was closed because the DG and other people requested that the meeting be closed. So everything here in Parliament that we do is for South Africans. So when you want information, you will get information. On that note, our meeting is adjourned, and we wish all those who are in a hospital a speedy recovery. You will send our regards to such employees which are in hospital, hoping that you are going to protect them from the vultures, because no human being that deserves to be treated like an animal, where your doctors will be harassed by public servants to say, we want to know, write an affidavit whether this patient is in hospital and how the patient has landed in hospital. It's a very sad situation. I've never heard of such, you know. So our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much again. We are wishing you well, hoping to have fruitful engagements moving forward. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I don't know what's telling you. I'm going to go to the next one.